President Hollande said the French army would have left Mali by now, but they are still here.
Well, you can see the effects of the so-called French precision bombing right here.
On this week's In Focus, we expose the many players in the Mali conflict and ask what next for this embattled nation.
La France aussi se croit en territoire conquis, effectivement se croit en ancienne colonie. Donc la France veut avoir sa base, les Américains vont avoir leur base au Niger. Ce n'est pas sûr que ce soit pour les intérêts ni du peuple malien.
The Mali conflict began last year as rebel groups, the Tuareg MNLA, who want their own homeland, and the Islamist fighters, who want an Islamic state, took control of the north of the country.
We're entering the small country town of Diabali right now. This is as far south as the various rebel groups got, only 7 hours' drive from the capital. When they entered towns like these, alarm bells started ringing in Paris, and the French started bombing.
Cette opération durera le temps nécessaire. J'informerai régulièrement les Français sur son déroulement. Les ministres concernés, celui des Affaires étrangères, en liaison avec les Nations Unies, car nous intervenons dans le cadre de la légalité internationale, comme le ministre de la Défense, donneront également toutes les informations utiles à la population.
L'information qui a été donnée, servie au peuple malien et à toute tout le monde entier, c'était que les djihadistes allaient rentrer à Bamako dans 24-48 heures. Mais personnellement, je savais que c'était faux. C'était absolument faux. Ces djihadistes ne pouvaient pas rentrer à Bamako. Ils ne pouvaient même pas rentrer à Mopti. La première raison, c'est que l'armée avait repris de la force. Deuxième raison, c'est que il y a eu une scission au sein de Ansardine. Et si bien que ce n'est pas toute Ansardine qui a participé au combat de Kona.
Echoes of the Libyan war, when Gaddafi's troops got close to Benghazi, France was given an excuse to send in the jets. This time it was Mali's capital, Bamako, which was supposedly under threat.
Well, you can see the effects of the so-called French precision bombing right here. This used to be a Malian army pickup truck. It was obviously taken by one of the rebel groups and converted. It's now nothing much more than scrap. Evidence of more French bombing just over there.
At a house nearby, we met the Danou family. Rebel armored cars were parked outside their house for days. In fear of their lives, they sheltered inside, afraid to go out. They were inside their homes when they heard the explosions. The ground shook. They feared for the worst. When they finally thought it safe to take a look, they found the rebel cars smouldering and the rebels gone.
Comment ils peuvent rentrer? Donc, on était vraiment étonnés. Mais quand on a demandé, on dit qu'ils sont, ils sont traversés la mare qui est le Fala. En ce moment, d'autres aussi sont rentrés par la route. Donc, on était très étonnés, effectivement.
Many in Mali are confused as to why the rebels came this far south. After all, the Tuareg MNLA only wanted independence for the north, a north they had already conquered. So why come further south?
Moi, je pense que c'était pas Djabali n'était pas dans leur programme. Djabali, c'est un peu enclavé. Je crois qu'il y avait un commandant, un tamanchek qui était là, qui était intégré à l'armée.
The mayor tells me that both the MNLA and the Islamists were here fighting together and fighting each other.
Tout a commencé par le MNLA parce qu'ils étaient venus pour partager le Mali. ils savent qu'ils ne peuvent pas le faire sans l'appui des islamistes. Mais quand les islamistes sont venus avec leurs forces, et ils voulaient la charia. Les MLLA ne voulaient pas la charia. Donc, eux-mêmes, ils étaient en combat là-bas. Ils ont fait combat à Tombouctou, ils ont fait combat à Gao, ils ont fait combat à Léré. Les MLLA étaient mis hors route.
The Islamists are made up of various groups. They are said to be connected to Al-Qaeda. The main fighting group is Ansar Dine. Its aim, strict Sharia law in the whole of Mali.
Ansar Dine were only here for around a week, but we know that they tried, or at least were planning, to implement Sharia law before they were so rudely interrupted. I wonder what the local imam thought about that.
The imam denies having any contact with them. When I asked him whether he would support the implementation of Sharia law in his town, he told me that he doesn't want anything imposed down the barrel of a gun. The Mali conflict, now in its second year, is seeing the fiercest fighting so far. The Malian army, backed by French troops and fighter jets, is locked in a bitter battle in the north. Civilians are being killed and thousands have fled the fighting.
The group now suffering the most under the humanitarian crisis are the Tuaregs. It was, of course, the Tuareg rebel group, the MLNA, which started this conflict, taking over the north and declaring an independent Tuareg state. It therefore comes as no surprise that it's Tuaregs, whether they were part of the rebellion or not, who are suffering from revenge attacks.
Tuaregs were originally a nomadic desert people. Many still are. Mohammed and his family lived and worked in Timbuktu. His father makes knives and swords for fellow Tuaregs and for the until recently booming tourist trade. I asked Mohammed what happened the day their lives changed forever.
We've been in peace for a long time, like you say, and after one morning, everything changed. Because people come in the town with guns, shoot in the earth, shoot people, and chase the army away, breaking the whole administrations. And until this morning, everything's changed. We used to have a lot of people who say, They are here for a Tuaregs, the community for Tuaregs, and with a jihadist people, terrorist peoples. But I am Tuaregs. I didn't tell them to do that. My dad didn't tell them. The rest of my family, who I know, who today are refugees in other camps, didn't ask them to do that.
And so how many of the Tuareg people support the MNLA, do you think?
For me, if you ask me, I would say 1%.
We've heard maybe 10%.
No, I said 1%.
I think if MNLA has support within the Tuareg community, it should be very marginal because, I mean, let's see how MNLA itself has been created. MNLA has been created by Tuaregs groups fleeing, Tuaregs militaries fleeing from Libya.
I don't fight for MNLA.
Why not?
Because I don't have any reason to fight Mali. I'm already free in Mali. I have everything I want. I've been in school in Mali. Mali been by my school.
So why are these guys wanting a homeland?
Because these guys are being chased by Libya government. And they're coming back, they don't... They think the government will don't give them a place.
And in Libya?
In Mali. Libya chased them away. After Gaddafi fall down, the new authority take them away from Libya and run away with guns, munitions, cars, a lot of money, and come back in Mali.
It is now known that it was the French who funded the MNLA, a group without large indigenous support from their own people, more bandits than a legitimate nationalist movement. The French have now made an alliance with the MNLA against the Islamists, leading many to question on whose orders the MNLA started the war in the first place. Now many Malians are out for revenge.
Now people are scared about Malian army.
Why?
Because I'm Tuareg and I'm young, strong. Maybe they would think I was part of what's happened.
C'est le comment vivre ensemble après toute cette situation. Parce que vous n'êtes pas sans savoir que que ce soit du côté de Mnela, du Mouja ou E2, en Sardine, il y avait des natifs du terroir, des enfants des localités qui étaient avec eux et qui ont commis des exactions contre leurs frères, contre leurs sœurs. Donc aujourd'hui, comment vivre avec ces gens-là, ces assassins que vous connaissez, que nous connaissons?
They are scared and they are scared to be killed and to be a target because they are Tuaregs. And all of these peoples now are in refugee camp. Who did that? Is the fault for these guys who say that the fighting for Tuareg community? No, the fight for the self. Because if it's not them, today me and my father will don't be here in Bamako. We will don't be here, no.
Although there is little support for the MNLA, many have expressed sympathy with the Islamists.
À Bamako, dans certaines mosquées, les vendredis, à écouter les prières seulement, les prêches, on sentait que c'était des prêches qui allaient en faveur un peu des idéologies prônées par les djihadistes. Et il y a même une mosquée qui a été fermée à Banankabougou. Cette mosquée qu'on appelle Marquez, les autorités ont été obligées de fermer cette mosquée-là parce que, selon des informations, c'était là qu'on recrutait les djihadistes pour les envoyer au nord. Donc, je crois qu'il y a eu cette situation. Et de plus en plus, c'est connu qu'il y a beaucoup de jeunes de Bamako, de Ségou, de Sikasso, de toutes les régions un peu, qui ont essayé de regagner les djihadistes parce qu'ils avaient un système de recrutement. Ils ont de l'argent.
To find out more about Islam in Mali and about what the Islamists wanted, I went to a madrasa in Bamako to meet Imam Touré.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Nié Mali de mo ti na bora mo kunta nuna na marfata ga doanka. Mali Islamia ka foni sunai. Nié bolodi. Ito ye angal du kono. Ita e barake orola. Ita e roshi. Mana beba era bulu. Okoro ti mo be dangari mo ka hakela kwa. Ya famia. Ni fini min ka die ibado. Donc là, au coin de alhamdulillah, quand il faut être fin de reposer, jamana qu'on a aidé ni mourir fikando, alhamdulillah, tiens.
I asked him why some young people had gone to fight with the Islamists.
Ne ka hakle mi, ansar din kore ko dina de lamba ko, ne dina jugudi, toko mbula toko imano, noka kewale mai, mo shite bi tu haklima, kafo, iba fuko nunu, o tabulu ni mambu bulu. Tiens, de faire mieux ton mot, mon cas, pour famille à bien. Il va sur le tableau local, au bessé le goût, le nez, le bout bon chibla, le bout fruit au dos, mon fan à bien, le mot, une ronchique, le bout bébé, gauche, bricolena. Or que non, haklo, tiklingi, famille n'est qu'à haklo, mini, ni ronchi, chama, slamote. Bon, ni kungan, d'alua fanae, mena n'a plus vie, corona, qu'on a dit ça.
Because the Islamists, when they come, it was nice. Because these Tuaregs people who say they come for the north, they are thief, they are stealers, and they are violent. They steal the Malian government offices, they steal the bikes for civilians.
This is the MNLA?
The MNLA.
And then what happened when the Islamists came?
After when Islamists came, they stop the MNLA people what they did. They tell them, stop the arson, the civilian. And they take what they can with the MNLA, the trucks they steal for people, the bikes, and give that for the people, for the local people.
They gave everything back to the people.
For the people. I've been there almost 1 month during this situation. And these guys, the Islamist people, first time, are more, the people like them more than MNLA people.
What Mohammed told us, we had heard repeatedly, that although the MNLA were hated, the Islamists did have some sympathy from the way they had treated people in occupied areas. I asked Imam Touré whether Malians wanted a more Islamic state.
Hey, tabulo am se fo e beka tabulo ka laini o. Si Islamia o ba famia ka kemi e o ya mbede ka laini. Na nunga famia tede. Ne a jetine 95% ya famia. Totra jeli 5%. Do be ba fe malika ke Islamia jamana e. O ye muye an na nyongo gasi an ga do kana do nyongo gasi la. An na nyongo mbunya. Angana nyonga fenshwe no kala sigi be jakwa ya famia o yanga hatla de meni o boy ndron don chen meka jamana ko
mais au point de vue financier et tout mais c'est beaucoup plus les Qatar. Les Qatar sont sous la responsabilité de qui aujourd'hui, qui dirige les Qatar aujourd'hui, qui a fait financer la guerre en Libye par le Qatar aujourd'hui, ce n'est pas la France, ce n'est pas l'OTAN. Écoutez, nous ne sommes pas très forts, mais nous ne sommes pas idiots. Nous sommes très intelligents. Nous comprenons la situation, mais nous n'avons qu'un seul besoin, c'est de vivre en paix et de jouir de nos richesses, et d'être aussi généreux pour d'autres peuples, mais que d'autres peuples ne viennent pas nous imposer leur conduite.
Les terroristes doivent savoir que la France sera toujours là lorsqu'il s'agit non pas de ses intérêts fondamentaux, mais des droits d'une population, celle du Mali, qui veut vivre libre et dans la démocratie. Merci.
Many think that the Islamists are being funded by the likes of Saudi Arabia and Qatar. I put to political analyst Dan Glazebrook that it was strange that France is now fighting Islamists in Mali, but supporting them in Syria.
Well, you have to see, the thing is, the Salafist militias that are operating in northern Mali, they have a kind of dual role in terms of Western foreign policy. So in some places they will be used as they are being used in Libya and Syria. They'll be given diplomatic cover, they'll be given weapons, they'll be given training, they'll be given funds in order to try and topple governments that the West doesn't like. In other places, as more like in Mali, they can be used as an excuse for intervention.
The French intervention, supported by the US and its European allies, is now being billed as the newest front in the war on terror.
Because the war on terror is just a fig leaf. It's just designed to plug into what Western governments perceive as an existing Islamophobia that they can plug into in their own populations in order to win support for aggression. That's all it is. It doesn't mean that they're actually not prepared to work, as you say, hand in glove with all kinds of militias of any religious hue when it suits their interests. As we've seen in Libya and Syria, they support the groups that that they claim to be fighting in Mali. Absolutely.
To fight the new threat in North Africa, the US has announced that it will be building a new base for its drones in neighboring Niger.
Vous avez besoin de cette base-là, pourquoi? Alors, on peut faire des accords si c'est utile pour notre pays. Si ce n'est pas utile pour notre pays, vous voulez vous installer par la force et par les subterfuges et vous tuez nos enfants, vous tuez nos femmes, vous déstabilisez notre culture. À quoi cela sert tout ça là? Pour les besoins du capital, je le comprends. Mais un peu quand même d'humanisme, quoi.
Is this war in Mali giving an excuse for particularly the US to remilitarize North Africa?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. The US has got the US is planning a new drone base in Niger, and has 10 other countries lined up for new bases. It's already since 2007 created air bases in over a dozen African countries. Already, plans for 10 more countries.
La France aussi se croit en territoire conquis, effectivement, se croit en ancienne colonie. Donc la France veut avoir sa base. Les Américains vont avoir leur base au Niger. Ce n'est pas sûr que ce soit pour les intérêts ni du peuple malien, ni du peuple nigérien.
So if the US, if France has bases in these countries, it's easier for them to control their governments?
Yeah, and protect their mines and so on and so forth.
Many Malians are now asking for funding and arms to build up their own military. Then they say they could take care of the threats themselves without the need for French troops on the ground.
C'est quand les Français vont partir, d'abord nous espérons qu'avant de partir, nous aurons une armée, une armée reconstruite, une armée bien formée qui pourra prendre le relais. Mais là, il y a des inquiétudes. Est-ce que c'est les mêmes éléments de l'armée qu'on a connus?
So far, there has been scant announcements of aid to the Malian military. Although the French are training some units, the Malian state is now wholly reliant on the French for the very survival of their nation.
This may be called Place d'Independence, and indeed Mali may well be technically independent. It has its own seats at the United Nations, it makes its own laws, and it has its own president. But the question has remained ever since this monument was built. Is it really independent?
Tous les pays africains, les 50 et quelques États pays africains, sont des pays nominalement indépendants. Le Mali aussi est un pays indépendant, mais en perte de sa souveraineté.
La tendance, c'est la recolonisation des pays africains. Il faut simplement qu'ils viennent gouverner à notre place. Vous voyez ce qui s'est passé en Côte d'Ivoire? Je ne vous le dis pas. Ce qui se passe en Côte d'Ivoire aujourd'hui, dans les ambassades, dans les bureaux, les ministères et tout ça, c'est bourré de Français.
One person I've spoken to has called it the recolonization of Africa.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would, because for a while we've had a situation what's sometimes called neocolonialism, meaning the withdrawal of, after the Second World War, the withdrawal of formal kind of governing political control by Western states of Africa and other third world, the rest of the third world, and replacing by kind of economic control, diplomatic control, and so on, maneuvering people into power who can be manipulated, ensuring that multinationals are able to invest profitably and all this kind of thing. So, what we've seen is this whole system is starting to break down.
The rise of China has increasingly threatened this model as more and more African countries turn to China, who often give better deals than their Western rivals.
To maintain the supply of minerals and crops at the prices it requires, low prices, depends on keeping wages low, fundamentally depends on keeping wages low. You know, the reason cocoa and cotton and so on from Africa is so cheap, the reason the minerals can be got fairly cheaply is because the miners and the plantation workers are paid a pittance, right? The reason they're paid a pittance is because of the impoverishment, continued impoverishment of the continent. Now, this impoverishment then is crucial to keeping the supply of cheap goods coming to the West. So there's been two things, however.
We have to keep Africa poor.
Exactly. So I would see this war in Mali as part of an ongoing Western war against the prospects of African development.
Le mieux c'est pour le peuple malien maintenant c'est d'abord un de croire en l'avenir de ce pays et de comprendre que personne ne le sauvera, c'est le peuple malien qui se sauvera lui-même. D'avoir la conscience claire et nette, elle est en train de l'avoir, que nous sommes aujourd'hui entre les mains de gens qui ont des intérêts qui sont des intérêts contraires aux leurs. Et de s'organiser davantage, de s'organiser au mieux pour pouvoir gagner les batailles à venir.
Back at Mohammed's house, he told me that he hoped to go home with his family to Timbuktu soon.
And when do you think that'll be?
I don't know, maybe in a couple of months or years, because soon as the government is not operational in Timbuktu, it's not safe to be there.
Do you think the French army can leave yet? They want to pull out, they say.
If you ask me, if they pull up, that will happen again. These guys will come back. Just see what's happened in Gao and Kidal, and around this Kidal.
So what's the solution?
The solution is the French soldiers must stay more here.
Inside, Mohammed's family gather round. His sister is tossing seashells. They predict the future, she tells me. I asked her when this war will be over and when her family will be able to return home. Soon, she says, the seashells have spoken. The reality, I fear, will be very different.